Well, obviously today is Mother's Day. It's a day to honor women, or excuse me, mothers. But what I also want to do is honor women, all women today. No matter where you find yourself in your season of life, we want to honor you, celebrate you. We're just thankful that God created you, put you on the planet, and then brought you to Key Point. We are thankful that you're here, and I believe you have a calling and a destiny on your life that is going to blow your mind. And as you continue walking with God, I really believe he's going to bring that out to you. We are world changers in this house. We're world changers, one person at a time. So, like I said, we honor you moms, we honor all the women. Don't you know that it can be really challenging to live today as a woman in this world? The first service I had a guy say amen. I'm like, no, you missed it. No, you missed it. That's right. The women are like, yeah, why are you saying amen? But it really can be, because the world tells us all kind of crazy stuff. The world tells us that we need to have it all and we need to do it all, which is a challenge in itself, but the world says you need to do it at the same time. Have it all, do it all at the same time. It says that you need to be independent, but you better keep your marriage strong while you're being independent. You need to advance in your career, but you better show up to all your kids' parties and school events and all those things, you know, we love to go to so much. You need to be fit. And that might mean you have to get up at 4 a.m. before work, but hey, you don't need sleep. You're Superwoman. You need to be a boss. And when you get to the top and you become a boss, now don't be too bossy, because they may call you another word. And it might or might not start with a B. You need to have the body and the face of a 20-year-old, even when you're 40-plus. So unfair, so ridiculous. And shame on you if you're not feeding your kids dairy-free, gluten-free, homemade, everything free, taste-free, grain-free, egg-free, free-range, homemade, organic cooking. Shame on you if you're not producing all of this in our world today. It feels like this is what it takes to be considered a capable woman. But I have good news for you. This is not at all what God requires. Not at all what he requires. Somebody's like, yes, amen. But it isn't. You know what God requires of you? He requires for you to do what he has called you to do. To fulfill your divine assignment and reach your divine potential. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork. He made us. He placed inside of us potential, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which is our divine assignment, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." Now, none of this takes perfection, but it does take courage. This year, the theme for She, our women's ministry here at Key Point, is Courageous Women Run in My Family. If there's one thing that I have noticed, it's the courage of women. With everything that's come against women, she stands with courage time and time again. And the older I get, the more I learn that it is true. Courageous women really do run in my family. My mom was 17 and found herself a single mother, no education, alone with a child, me. And then her mother before her, my mama boo, because everybody in South Louisiana has a mama and a papa, and her last name was Boudreaux, and so we called her boo. Everybody say mama boo. So you sound like a Cajun person. Mama boo. She had six kids, a good Catholic woman, raised six children. Then my dad's mom found herself single at the age of 20 with two kids that created the definition for crazy kids, for trouble, pretty much. You wouldn't have wanted to raise these boys. And yet she worked every day in the Louisiana heat at a dry cleaner's and later went on to own three of those dry cleaners. And yet I have another spiritual family. Another family. It's my spiritual family. It's the people who believe. Believers. And I think of the believers, the people in this room who are my spiritual family. I think of people like Stephanie Wheelock, who believed for 9 years to have a biological child. She dealt with infertility. In that process, she adopted 2 children, but she never stopped believing for her own biological child. And she was here just this last service at 10 o'clock, sitting in the seats with her 6-week-old baby girl. After 9 years, God did the miracle. But she had the courage to just keep believing. Even when she had a lot of doubts, she kept picking herself up and saying, Lord, help me believe, help me believe. Then I think of Jen Cognac, who is in our Springdale campus. She adopted this year her baby niece, who was 1 year old, into her family. Legally adopted her because her family was neglecting her. Now for Stephanie, for Jen, this was not a convenient thing. But God had asked them to do it, to give this child a future. And so she said, Lord, help me have courage to say yes to this. And she did. And then I think of CT, a girl at our Springdale campus as well. She is in college right now, as well as working and doing 1,000 other things that CT does for her PhD. Can you say she's smarter than me? Seriously, I just think of all the women in this room right now who have fought for their marriage and believed God for their kids, stood on his promises, never quit, just kept on, kept on, kept on, believing God, staying with God, committed to God. And then I look further back into my spiritual family, like the women in the Bible. I think of Deborah. This woman, if I have a hero, it is her. She is my hero. I look to her always for inspiration. She's found in Judges in the Old Testament. Deborah was the commander-in-chief. She led the Israeli army to victory in a time when it was pretty much scandalous for women to do anything more than have children. She is my hero. Then I think of Mary, young Mary. You know, some scholars believe that she was 12 or 13 years old when she had Jesus. Now, for her to say yes was remarkable because she knew that in agreeing to God's plan, she would ostracize herself from her community because she was pregnant out of wedlock. And yet, this young girl said, yes, God. And then I think of Mary Magdalene. She's probably one of my favorites. She's in the New Testament. Y'all, this woman had a shady past. Shady past. But what I love about her the most is that she learned how to forgive herself because she knew God had forgiven her, and she followed Jesus forward. I really believe that there are some women in here and men in here today that have a shady past a little bit. And you're having trouble forgiving yourself, but God has already forgiven you if you've asked for it. And what I want you to do is have the courage to move forward with the Lord and drop and leave all that condemnation behind you, because that is not God's will for your life. So that's a challenge. Maybe that's the kind of courage you need today, is just to believe that God has forgiven you. Well, all these women that I mentioned, every one of them, from my family on down to the Bible, something I've noticed is not one of them was perfect. But they had a common theme. Their common theme was they all had issues, just like we do, but they also all had courage. Because courage is what it takes. We all need courage. Every single one of us today need it. In fact, if you were to look at your life, take a little bit of inventory of your words, of your decisions, of your reactions, I really think, spend a little bit of time doing that, a couple days, you might be shocked to see how much fear is at the root of them, how many are rooted in fear. Think about the arguments in your spouse or the decisions you make with your job or whatever. If you had nothing to fear, I guarantee you some of the decisions we make and the reactions we have would be different, because fear often drives us. The phrases do not fear and be courageous and have faith and all that, those are written over 300 times in the Bible. That's a lot, 300 times. So why did God say, let's say in Joshua 1:9, why did he say, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why did God say those things over 300 times to us? I believe because he knew that fear is a massive issue that we all face. It paralyzes us from moving forward. It influences and motivates us to make the wrong decisions. And it is not reflective of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. fear. So what does it take to be courageous? What does it even mean, really, to be courageous? Well, I can tell you one thing it doesn't mean, and it doesn't mean the absence of fear. In fact, for you to be courageous, there has to be a presence of fear, because if there was no fear, you wouldn't need courage. So courage is certainly not doing something without fear. I believe courage is saying yes when you're afraid. Saying yes when you're afraid. So what divine assignment right now does God have for your life that you keep putting off and saying no to? You know what I'm talking about, divine assignment. I'm talking about the thing that keeps you up at night, what you are passionate about, what motivates you, what you dream about, and maybe even what makes you angry, because you ask yourself all the time, when is someone going to do something about this? It's that holy discontentment that lies on the inside of you. What divine assignment have you been saying no to because of fear? What do you need courage for right now? You know, raising godly kids takes massive courage. Starting a business, being generous, leading, whatever it is that God's asking you to do, go back to school. It's going to take courage. But too often, this is what happens. Fear stands in the way of us reaching our divine potential. But let me tell you something today, and listen. The path to your greatest potential often charts straight through your greatest fear. The path to your greatest potential often goes straight through your greatest fear. What do you fear? Is it rejection? Are you afraid if I step out, then it may not please everybody? That's something I always deal with. Is it failure? If I do it and it flops, I'm going to embarrass myself. I'll have wasted my time. I'm so afraid of failure because failure is going to tell me that I am a failure, not just that I failed. Are you afraid of loss? Like everything coming crashing down and it all falling apart? Are you afraid of admitting addiction? Like maybe for the first time ever, you need to tell someone, I have a problem and I really do need some help. Or maybe you're just afraid of letting someone in and being vulnerable and saying, hey, I have maybe some depression or anxiety issues. I need someone to know because the only way I'm going to be able to overcome this is with someone else and the Lord's help. What are you afraid of? One time, I remember I was preaching at this church, and it was a pretty large church. I think the auditorium sat like 3,000. And if you, our auditorium is, I think, like close to 1,000, so triple it. And then their stage was huge, way bigger than ours, and we have a pretty big stage. Well, as I was sitting there, or standing actually, during worship, I knew the time was nearing where they're about to call my name. And for some reason, I just started to get panicked. And I'm talking, you know, that fight or flight, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm either going to freak out, I'm going to hit somebody, or I'm going to run away. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I am freaking out on the inside. And I actually had these thoughts. If I leave now, they might not be able to catch me. If I run now, I can give them some time to think of an excuse to tell everybody where I went. I did. And I even had this thought. What injury can I fake so that I don't have to get up there? Like, my leg's numb. I don't know what happened. Like, what can I do? But I knew that there was no way around it without totally embarrassing myself. So I grabbed my friend next to me, and I said, girl, pray for me. I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. And she grabbed me, and she prayed over me, and I felt the Lord's presence. And this is what I felt him say in that moment. I am with you. I have called you and equipped you. Now go and do what I have called you to do. And let me tell you something. When I had that word, I'm not going to tell you all the fear left, but it did give me motivation to be courageous. And I picked up my feet. They felt a little bit like weights. All right, God, I'm doing it. And I walked up those stairs. And as soon as I started preaching the gospel, I felt strengthened on the inside, courageous. It was like, all right, this is what I'm called to do. This is what gets me going. Preach the gospel. And then after that, I opened up the front for prayer. And I was amazed at what God did. Of course, I'm always amazed. I should expect nothing less. Hundreds of people came down to the front. I'm talking people where snot was going everywhere. We were laying our hands on people. I was climbing on top, but not really. But it was awesome. It was like an old school altar call, like a old, I mean, it was amazing to see what God was doing in people's lives. And when I finished that night and I went back and I sat down at that seat, I thought, God, no wonder Satan came against me so much. The path to your greatest potential will often go straight through your greatest fear. Straight through your greatest fear. Why your fear? Why your fear? Because Satan knows that what's on the other side of it lies your potential. So he'll do anything he can to stop you from reaching your potential. Anything. And most often what he does is throw up this smoke screen in front of you. It looks so heavy. It looks so daunting and impenetrable. But when you finally say, Lord, help me, I'm going to be courageous enough to give me the opportunity to take advantage of the opportunity you've given me. And you stick your foot through that smoke screen, you realize that it actually had no substance at all. That God helped you move through it. I really am passionate about seeing a generation of women and men in this church especially rise up in their calling and courageousness, rise up and fulfill their divine assignment and reach their divine potential. But it's going to take courage. I remember when we started this church 14 years ago. We moved to the area, didn't know anyone. Casey was just getting to know Brian Anderson, who was a college student at the time. Now he's our children's pastor. How amazing is God? And as we were kind of doing our due diligence in the area, living here, meeting with people, spreading the word, hey, come to our first service, come to our first service. It's going to be awesome. You're really going to want to be there, like hoping that we had everything we needed for the first service. We're telling everybody, it's going to be awesome. I remember the closer to time that it got to that first service, February 14th, 2005, I started kind of freaking out because I started feeling so unqualified for my role. I was thinking, I can't be this role to anyone. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to do. I'm unsure of myself. I just feel unqualified. I don't want to do this. So I started thinking in my mind, what can I do to get out of going to that first service? Maybe I could tell them that the kids were sick. Like, what can I do? But I knew that wouldn't work because for weeks up until that point, Casey had been telling everybody he talked to, well, if no one shows up, I know my wife and kids will be there. I'm like, stop saying that because I want an excuse to not be there, but now I know I have to be there to make you feel really bad if I'm not there. So I went, the very first service, walked in Tucker Elementary over there in Lowell. And for the first 10 minutes, I hid in the bathroom. I went into the stall, closed the door, and stood there and was like, oh, Jesus, I don't want to come out here. I don't want to come out here. I just want to hide. I feel so unqualified. Do you know what courage is? It's showing up even when you feel unqualified. It's just showing up. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7 says, for this reason. Now, let me tell you before this. Paul was writing this to young Timothy, who was obviously dealing with some intimidation or some fear at what was before him. So Paul said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, the potential on the inside of you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. In other words, you may be, it's true, unqualified right now, but there is a divine potential. There's a seed of it on the inside of you. So make full use of that potential by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, that gives you the can-do power, and so that you can operate in love and have a sound and steady mind. And self-discipline to do what God's called you to do. The Holy Spirit is that courageous spirit that lives on the inside of you. But here's what I've noticed about courage. It's not always flashy. It doesn't always say, I am woman, hear me roar. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't always roar. Sometimes it is just that still, quiet voice that tells you, try again. Just try again. You might have failed. Or maybe it looks like you failed, because honestly, when you step out in courage, and even if it flops, I don't believe that's a failure at all, because something happened in here, and really that's the most important thing. So no matter what happened, maybe it looked like you failed, or maybe no one showed up, or maybe it just didn't go as planned. Maybe you were scared to death and nothing turned out the way you wanted it to. But courage is just going, hey, just try again. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time. Just have some hope for the next time. Try again. Every single day of your life, Satan is going to try, he's your spiritual enemy, to get you to stop trying. Every day, he's going to whisper in your ear, don't do it. Don't do it. What I've noticed, though, is right before your greatest breakthrough, something you've been asking God to happen in your life or whatever, right before that happens, it's going to be when you hear the loudest, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're unqualified, you're not capable enough, you don't have enough time, and people are going to think you're crazy. And it's true. Sometimes things that God calls us to do, people just don't understand it. In fact, sometimes I don't understand it myself. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me to come to a place where we knew no one and plant a church. But my goodness, thank God, God helped us get here and do it. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And sometimes that is what courage is. It's going against the crowd whenever you need to. I'm telling you, we need courage today to raise kids, right? We need courage. I can't tell you how many times I have told my kids, I understand that everybody's parents are letting them do you fill in the blank, but you're not. You know why? Because it doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor you. Have some more self-respect. Raise up your standards and be the man and the woman God's called you to be. You're not. Sometimes you've got to go against the crowd to have courage. It takes courage to go against the crowd as a parent because no one else is doing it. Well, you know what? We are. We are because we are a light. We are a city on the hill, Scripture says. We are to let our light shine before men. I remember whenever I was in high school, I was a junior in a science class. And I had this teacher that needed to go on ahead and retire. You know what I'm talking about? We all have those, and all of our kids have one of them. You know what I mean? They just need to go on and retire. Just take your retirement fund and have a good life, you know? Well, she needed to. So what she did one day is she handed out tests to everyone, and then she left the room. I did not understand the logic of that, but that's what she did. And then, of course, everyone starts talking, and it's like no one's taking the test seriously. Everybody is, you know, what's the answer? And then someone realized, oh, my word, the answers are at the bottom of the test. She forgot to cut off the answer code. So everybody's freaking out, laughing. Everybody is going to get 100, except probably there's probably one smart person that's like, let me get one wrong so she won't know. You know, we're all turning 100 papers. But here was the dilemma for me. Everyone in that classroom knew I was a Christian, and that teacher knew I was a Christian. So I was faced with the choice. Do I honor God and not cheat? I really didn't want to cheat. I really wanted to honor God. I didn't care what I meant. You know, I knew I was going to pass it. I didn't want to cheat, but it was hard for me to make the decision to honor God because I thought everyone's going to think I'm weird. And I don't want to be one of those weird Christians. I'm going to be the only one I know I am. Or do I do what everyone else is doing and go ahead and cheat? But the thing is, I knew it would ruin my reputation and it would taint my witness. And thank God I chose not to cheat, turn my paper in. And of course, she found out and we all had to retake the test. But I was so grateful because it did not ruin my witness to that class or to her. Courage is not always popular, but it will always be rewarding in the long run. Courage is also not wasting time. Not wasting time. So many times this is what God does. He'll put something on our heart and say, I want you to do this. A burden on the inside of you where you're fired up about it. You're motivated. And God will say, okay, I want you to do it now. Now. And then we automatically go, whoa. Yes, okay, God, I'll do it. Just stop asking. But I don't know about now. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe a little bit later. Maybe later, God. I want you to write a book. Okay, God, I will write the book, but I'm going to do it tomorrow when everything is on my schedule is clear, when I have a little bit of time, a little mental space, I'll write it tomorrow. Well, I want you to start going to the gym, you only have one heart. Get it in shape so you don't have a heart attack. God, you're right, but can I start tomorrow? I want to start tomorrow. I want you to admit your addiction to someone so you can get some help so I can free you, but it comes in admission first. Okay, God, yes, I'll do that, but can I do it tomorrow when I feel the courage to do it? Can I just do it tomorrow? I want you to watch what you eat. You're putting bad things in your body and expecting good results. Stop eating the 23 cheeseburgers when you sit down and just start eating a little bit better. All right, God, I'll do that, but today is Mother's Day. Can I start tomorrow? The thing is, God's not asking for tomorrow. He's not asking for later. He's asking for right now, this time, this season, today. For every one of us, there is a season for our potential. For every one of us. Some of us, there's some things that God has called us to that we can't do when we're 60 if we were supposed to do it when we're 20. You might have something you're supposed to do in your 50s, but there's a season to your potential. Let's not waste any more time, and let's do what God has called us to do. There's too much at stake. I know I don't have to tell you this, but today, especially all around the world, women are oppressed, suppressed, depressed, and every other kind of pressed that you can imagine. But this is nothing new. This has happened since the beginning of time. Satan has had a mission to go against woman. In Genesis 3:15, it even says that there is hostility between Satan and woman. You know why? Because God pronounced, whenever he cursed Satan and all of that, whenever there was sin that entered the world through Adam and Eve, he pronounced, Satan, there will be someone one day who is going to crush you, the Messiah, and he's going to come through woman. So from that day forward, Satan's mission was to suppress, oppress, depress woman, to try not to allow that moment to happen when he knew that he was defeated. Well, of course, Mary already had Jesus, and he came, and he crushed Satan. But you know what? There's still some potential inside of you that you need to give birth to, and he's still trying to suppress, oppress, and depress you so that he won't be crushed in your life. But I really believe that we're going to walk in courage. We're going to walk in courage. Look what Isaiah 60 verse 1 says. It says, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine and be radiant with the glory and the brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. Has risen upon me. God is with you. With everything that Satan has tried to do over the generations, we have all witnessed, like these women who wrote all those fabulous songs that we're now able to worship to. We've witnessed generation after generation after generation, decade after decade, over and over, the courage of woman. God has given her strength to rise up even when all hell has come loose against her. God's given her strength to say, come on, get up, try one more time. And I know you have it. I know everyone in this room has that same strength. The Holy Spirit saying, come on, get up and let's go one more time. I see it in you. Every time you say yes to God whenever you're afraid. Every time you do something and you show up even when you feel unqualified. Every time you go against the crowd when it's not popular. And every time you don't waste time, you say, yes, God, I'm going to do it right now. If you say it, I'm doing it because I know there's dividends in it. And I know that obedience is what you ask of me. I've seen that in you. And I'm so passionate about releasing the potential that's inside of people, particularly women, even starting in this church, to walk in your God-given calling. No matter what it is, if it's being the most courageous mother you could possibly be and wife, be that. Do it. If it's starting a company and being a CEO, do it. Be courageous in that. If it's writing a book or preaching on a stage, girl, do it. If that's what God's called you to do, there's nothing holding you back but you. Unqualified or not, he will qualify you. Do what you need to do to get there, but do it. passionate. I want to see in a generation to come all these women for our church that have risen up and they are actually making a mark on history in this world. It's going to be powerful, I'm telling you. One of my biggest dreams is for my kids to be able to say, my mom, she was not perfect. She fussed with my dad. She argued with him. She got a little hot-headed sometimes, yes. Her food was not great. I'm just saying. The Instapot was her best friend, and it wasn't the best. She got a little road rage. That's all right. But one thing my mom was courageous. Because I saw her stand up time and time again when she was afraid. Put her feet on the ground and say, yes, God. When she felt unqualified, when it was hard to go against the crowd, she said yes. That's what I want my children to say. That's my biggest prayer. I want to make a mark in their life. And I really pray that men and women in this room, that is our prayer, that people around us could say, no, they weren't perfect, but they said yes, and they tried again. I really believe that a generation behind us will look and say, yes, courageous women do run in my family. They're all around me, spiritual and natural family. Why don't you bow your heads and let's pray. I really believe that we all want to be courageous because it's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Every one of us want to be that, but the only way to truly, truly be the kind of courageous that God wants you to be is to have a relationship with Him, because it comes through the Holy Spirit who lives within you when you are born again. Maybe some of you in this room have not been born again. You haven't given your life over to Christ. You haven't been forgiven, truly forgiven. And when that happens, what happens is your eternal destination is changed from hell to heaven, the most important decision you could ever make in your life. Maybe you one time gave your heart to Christ, but you've fallen far away from Him and you feel like you aren't close anymore and you want to come home. If that's you, I want you to say this prayer out loud with all of us. They're going to say it together like we really mean it. Everyone say out loud, Father God, thank you for your love. Jesus Christ, thank you for your sacrifice. I receive forgiveness. Say, trade everything bad in me for everything good in you. Holy Spirit, come live inside of me. Make me courageous. Now I want you to confess this. Today, the old is gone. The new me has come. In Jesus' name. Now if you, your eyes are still closed, if you said that prayer, if you meant it for the first time or rededicating your life, all I want to ask you to do is look up at me and raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. But this is important. Yes. Thank you. 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 Yes. Who else? Who else? Thank you. Yes. God sees you. God sees you. Come on. Who else? Yes. God sees you. God sees you. Yes. God sees you. Yes. He sees you. Your eternal destination is being changed right now. Do you know how exciting that is? Yes. God sees you. And you. Yes. Come on, God sees you. That's incredible. Probably 20 people have just given their heart to Christ. This is the best day of the rest of your life. Whoo! And let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you that they are courageous because their DNA says they are. Their DNA says that you live inside of them. God, I pray that no matter what we face, we will rise to the challenge with you by our side. God, I pray for ideas, businesses to be started in here, books to be written, whatever it is that you've called us to do, raising life changers. God, I pray that we'd have courage to do that and you would release potential in this room, in the young people, in the older people, in every person that would say, me, God, choose me. We love you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.